Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue our teachings. All right, so Galatians chapter 3, let's continue reading. I'm going to go very far today, I hope, because the summary of what is being discussed here, we have explained at the beginning. Paul again was trying to emphasize the supremacy of Christianity to the law and why the law was not necessary, all right, for the Galatians to be able to achieve righteousness or walking in a manner that's pleasing to God. So we began in Galatians chapter verse 1, chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus was portrayed publicly, he said, as crucified. This is one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? He said, does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Then he went into the discussion from verse 6. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham, and in effect, not those who are of natural descent. That's what he was saying. Now, and the scripture saying, foreseeing or prophesying that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the scripture says, the righteous shall live or acquire life by his faith, by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. He was quoting Moses here. Now, that's in this second quote. He said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, let me just stop there. Again, after that, we'll quickly rush down from verse 15 to 29, before we go into chapter 4. I want to try and be fast, so that we won't stay too long in this book of Galatians. Now, what Paul was explaining, no, remember, don't forget the thing we tried to do. Two things. One, number one, we get the sense in what Paul was saying, and then we pick the lessons of life that we can learn from the things that are written, the things that are recorded. Now, last time I explained what it meant to have somebody bewitched, and that's a serious principle about life. I'm not going to go over that again. And then, but there are a number of points I want to bring out here. When you talk about how somebody begun in the Spirit, and how possible it can be that he will be perfected or finish that which he begun in the Spirit by the flesh. And then we'll also see what he meant when he said that God works miracles, all right, by the works of the law, not by the works of the law, but by hearing with faith. But before I go into those things, what's the sense of what Paul is saying here? It's still the same thing. He's trying to explain to the people that justification does not come by the law, but by walking by faith. Do you understand my point? And let me quickly say this. Was he saying, in effect, that people don't need to sets of rules and regulations or right living to be able to walk, all right, righteously or walk in a manner pleasing to God? That was not exactly what he was saying. There's something about Christianity I said at the beginning. It starts from a different parameter. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it doesn't try to please God by the works. But having discovered that he's pleasing to God, he does works that come out of the heart that is pleasing to God. We start from the point of righteousness, not trying to attain righteousness by works, but that we have already been reconciled to God and we are pleasing to God by faith. That's how good works come out of our lives. But you see something as we go on in chapter 4 that is said that there's a difference between somebody who is an adult and that which is a child, even though he's a proper head. That is, even though we have the righteousness of God in our hearts, sometimes we have, now listen to this, codes by which we walk as believers. It doesn't mean we walk lawlessly. But what Paul was talking about, all right, is that it's not to transport the law. Do you understand my point? Because let me say this to you again. I think I said it before. I hope I don't have to go over everything again. The law was not just about codes. Do you follow? It was a representation of the covenant. Because the danger in using the law was that you transported a lot of things. For example, the law wasn't just, for example, about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, which would appear like a righteous thing to decree. But the law was also about thou shalt circumcise your son on the eighth day, which was a matter of entering into a covenant with God. Do you get what I'm saying? And those are the things that Paul totally disagreed with. That no, that's not how we attain righteousness. We discussed that one before when I was introducing the issue. Now what I want to bring out again here is this. Paul was now proving the issue that justification, that is the promise that God gave Abraham, all right, was given before the law was given. And the promise, all right, was tied, let me put it like this, was tied to the relationship God had with Abraham. Therefore, obedience to the law could not be the basis upon which the promise of God will come into somebody's life. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Let's see, like I said, I'll rush through this. I don't want us to get into the details of the, you know, plenty story behind it. But later on, you find out what the purpose of the law was. What he was just emphasizing to the people is that, please, don't import Judaism into Christianity, thinking that by doing that, you will now be pleasing to God. Or, you know, I think I mentioned this one last time. People have tried to argue, which day should we go to church? And people have tried to argue, which day should we go to church? And I said, any day we like. Say, well, that God never said it's Sunday. You know, many years ago, I think it was Jehovah's Witness or some people wrote the magazine. And they tried to explain that the reason why we go to church on Sundays is because one pope decreed that Saturday was no longer the Sabbath day. It was now Sunday. And they told the story to let it show that the thing changed because of the decree of man. Do you follow what I'm saying? And why were they saying it? They wanted to prove to us that we were walking in iniquity and we're disobeying the law of God because we are now following the law of a man. Now, I read it. I don't know whether I understood this then or was after that I remembered it. And I said, that was a very silly argument. I never thought that Sabbath day changed from Saturday to Sunday. There's a very famous Bible that tried to prove that God now ordained Sunday. And I was reading it. I said, what's wrong with these people? That is not the point. Please, follow what I'm saying. That the point is not Wednesday is now Sabbath. The point is not about the observance of Sabbath. Oh, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. That the issue now is now, okay, is it Sabbath or is it Sunday or Saturday that Sabbath? Number one, like I said last time, those who say, no, we must go to church on Saturday, I said, they are not even sure that whether the sequence has not been distorted over the years. You know, I explained to you that if you read the history of the calendar, you'll be afraid. You'll be afraid. There are days that don't exist even in the history of the calendar. The calendar was changed several times, and as of today, what we use is what is called the Gregorian calendar. And that's why if you buy Concord, I don't know about now, but those days when M.K. Abiola was still alive, they always used to give their dates two ways. They'll give you the normal date that we all know, and then they'll give you the Islamic date. Because the way the Islamists counted their calendar is very close to the Jewish one. Their months had, I think, maybe 28 days. You understand? And they have 13 months in a year. You know, little different things like that. The day the Chinese celebrate is New Year, it's different from the one the Russians celebrate their New Year, and it's different from the one we celebrate, and we do the one we do now because the English people conquered the world for a very long period of time, and they taught us their own ways. So, look, also all those very funny arguments of, when should we go to church? Is it Saturday or Sunday or Monday? I say, listen, it is when it is convenient. Do you know why Kingdom World Ministries holds meetings on Saturdays? A number of reasons. Number one, I make it clear, I'm not trying to start a church. The body of Christ has a lot of problems, amen? And start another church is not going to solve it. You are just going to start a church where the people don't know how to prophesy, amen? They don't know how to do other things than teach, because the guy who started it, all he does is teach. I don't know what I'm going to explain. And then everybody now becomes bent in a particular direction. They are not balanced. Listen, let me say clearly to you. You can't listen to Pastor Banky alone and you'll be balanced in life. It is not possible. If it was possible, maybe I'm another Jesus Christ. Then there are two of us. The first one and this is the next guy. But since I am not and I refuse that claim, even if you say, that man is so holy, I think he's under Jesus Christ. He's on your own. I don't. I'm as much another Jesus Christ as every believer, all right, is another Jesus Christ. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Okay, so you cannot follow one man in life and you'll be balanced. I mean, you should listen to T.D. Jakes once in a while. Let him shout the will of God into your head. You know, you know everybody that was going to talk calmly like Pastor Bank. There are those that cannot preach more than 15 minutes. But in those 15 minutes, hear ye the word of the Lord. God said I should. And they're not lying. They're not jokers. You know, God forgive us. Oh, Father God, we're in trouble in this church now, worldwide. Except God has mercy. We need a lot of mercy. There are a lot of jokers out there who carry microphones. There are plenty. I don't mean this as an insult. Did I call anybody's name? I didn't. But believe me, there are serious people. And when you identify a serious man, you will know. Like when you encounter him, you will know. You will know. That's why the other day my wife and I listened to the TDJ for just like 10 minutes or so. No, the whole program actually, but didn't preach for too long. In the first 5 minutes, I was just getting excited when this man was talking. I'm just bringing out something that, listen, this is just, I'm digressing there, but I'm not trying to have another group of people that listen to me alone. And, you know, I know I can mention names without Chris, and you go to some church, okay, let me not mention name. There are two churches there, he's laughing. There are two churches in Nigeria today. If you ask me, once I drop this microphone, I'll tell you. Well, even if I died, don't bury me using one of their pastors. I won't agree. My body will refuse. And listen, I'm not talking about Orthodox, I'm talking about Pentecostal churches. I will mention two of them. And I won't say it here. You can ask me personally, I will tell you. There's nothing secret about it. Alright? No, I'm serious. And my reason is very simple. Talk to their members. I've never seen... How can Christians be so stupid? You go to a church, means that they should fry your brain. You can't use it again. You use it to cook. One single man of God is the apostle. I heard this, I couldn't believe it. He's the apostle, he's the prophet, he's the evangelist, he's the teacher. He's everything. And he said it. Do you need to go anywhere else? Am I not your apostle? Am I not your pastor? Am I not your teacher? Am I not your, what's the other one? Evangelist? Do you know? This is a man I respect so much. I mean, I respected him enough to put his message in my car and be listening to it. He said, don't mind them. That one man came up to him one day and said that he's a prophet and God sent him to him. He said, I told him, just go away with your prophecy. I don't want to hear. I said, this man, you see, you have become deaf. Big man of God. He said, where did you ever see in the Bible that God sent a prophet to a prophet? I took the tape from home. So I was listening to it. And my mom had listened to it before that. And you know, all of them in my house listened to it and they were kind of carried away. They didn't go to the church, but they got the messages. And someone I came and were listening to it, and the man said that, and my mother laughed. No, she had bought it, all right? And I said, Mommy, that is not true. She's like, what? I quickly gave her two examples from the scriptures. She said, people like you are hard to deceive. I said, number one, can you remember the man that God sent to go and prophesy against the altar that this king in Israel? Yes, Jeroboam's altar. What? No, they didn't mention that guy's name. I said, an older prophet came and said to him, thus says the Lord. But he was lying. But then, again, the Spirit of God came upon that older prophet and he prophesied against the younger prophet and he was speaking the word of God. I said, let's read the Bible. David was actually a prophet. Go and read the Psalms. In fact, there was a scripture I read the other day that the Bible made it clear that the man was a prophet. David used to prophesy. But when he sinned, did God not send Nathan to him? I gave my mother two examples. I said, listen, when a prophet is backsliding, God sends another prophet to him. And understand this. Prophet, you're a prophet doesn't mean that you can hear God directly for yourself. You're a messenger. You can get a message from another person. My mother said, people like you are hard to deceive. I said, I beg, don't sell that one to me at all. Is that telling me that can a teacher be taught by another teacher? Why not? How do I learn the things that I know? Things, everything that the Holy Spirit is about to come. You know everything. Don't listen to anybody else. So. Just, if I were you, the day I say that, just say, guys, I did come. I say, I did come. I won't go buy water downstairs. Just buy the water across the road and don't come back. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Now, I'm just going to say something. So I was really, really, I was surprised when I heard that one. No. So the judge I'm telling you about, the problem I have with them is that's just that problem. That they so idolize the man in front there. That if the man and God stood side by side and God said, look, choose this day whom you will serve, they will say, we will serve pastor. People are like that. I'm serious. Now, so I know I've digressed so much, all right? But I hope you learned some things from these my digressions, I hope. Now, the point I'm just making is that why do we do this? I said, no, it's Saturday because it's convenient. I expect that most people that come here go to a church or the other, all right? And I go also. So I don't want to be, in quote, in competition with the assemblies we all go to. So on Sunday morning, I also rise up early and go to church. I avoid most days that other people meet so that to allow people participate in their local churches and also be able to take out the time to hear the word of God. And I choose Saturday evenings partly because it's the most convenient free time for most people. Now, there's no time that's convenient for everybody. But I think we have made enough allowances under such circumstances, you know, when we put it on Saturday evening. It's convenient. There's nothing holy about the day. That's what I'm coming to. Listen, the same principle applies on Sundays. Sunday is not a holy day. In Jesus' name, hear me. It's not a holy day. It's just a convenient day because worldwide, apart from in China, and in these Arab countries, it's a public holiday. I've said it before, if I were a pastor in northern Nigeria, I'll probably hold my services on Fridays, in the afternoon, not even at night, and not even in the morning. You say why? One, weekends there are public holidays, all right? Like in the rest of Nigeria, that's Thursday, Saturday and Sunday, okay? But Friday is when the whole community goes to their worship, you know, centers. And since Jesus said, be harmless as serpent, doves, but wise as serpent. When everybody is moving into the mosque, I also move into the church. There's no law about that, too. I'm just talking about being pragmatic, what is convenient. Do you follow? Now, I'm not saying I must do that. It's a reasoning that just coming through my mind. Sunday is convenient. That's why I go to church on Sunday. Because we know, as we are in church on Sunday, in Lagos, they are in church on Sunday. You know, I know a particular church that they are these Judaistic kind of Christians. You know, they don't believe, you know, they believe in obeying the law, you know, the way it is. All right? But then they don't believe in a lot of the things that other Christians do. A lot of them I also don't believe in. You know, things like Jesus was born on December 25th. We all know he was not born on December 25th. Do you follow what I'm saying? Nobody's arguing that fact. All right? It's just a day that we choose to say we are doing Christmas. All right? So it's not a very serious day for me. I'm not saying. But in their own church, it's a rule. It must not have anything to do with Christmas or Easter. Easter is where I'm going to. But their church convention, this is the point, holds every Easter. You know why? It's the longest public holiday in Nigeria. It starts on Friday and ends on Monday. And it's like that every time. The Muslim holidays, even when they are long, you don't know when they are going to start. They can start on Monday, Tuesday, and then there will be 2 days. But this one, you are sure. You will start on Friday, and you have another one on Monday. So you have a very long weekend. What I'm saying is that they don't believe in Easter quite all right, yes. But it's convenient for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And I think Christians should understand that. Some of these things that we hold and make it look like it's the will of the word of God, they are not. We have come to adapt them because they are convenient. If I say this again, some people won't like it, but it's the truth. People say this is the house of God. I say, where is the house of God? They say the church. I say, it's a lie. There's no building on this earth that's the house of God. All of them are convenient meeting places. I don't care. In fact, you know, I went to preach yesterday night. Someone invited me. I went upstairs. I said, thank you very much for inviting me. That this is the first time I'm preaching on a marble pulpit. Very nice marble pulpit. I don't care whether you use marble for the pulpit. Alright? Or gold for the pulpit. Use pure silver for the floor. It's not the house of God. You know what it is? A convenient meeting place. For example, this place is convenient. The chairs are here. When we wanted to start this work, we had options of meeting in restaurants. And in fact, the first place I tried was a hotel. It was a hotel down the road where one could, you know, just. But then the place was very quiet. They didn't want. Maybe they don't wanted to do church, you know. In fact, I don't blame a hotel like that. If they don't, when you hear people bang drum, you go change your mind about allowing them into your hotel. But I couldn't persuade them that, look, there's nothing like that. We just want to sit down and learn. But what I'm saying is that later on, when I got this space, we had to pay a lot of money to start and put things in order and buy chairs and all of that. It appeared like, why don't you just go somewhere and be renting? I said, but by the time you pay rent somewhere for like 3 months, you will have paid enough, all right, to hire this place for the whole year. So over time, we developed it, you know, kept on increasing, you know, things kept on changing. What I'm saying is that this is the house of God, arrant nonsense. This is a business district. We're on the top floor. Right below us is a cyber cafe. The one below that is Caruso Studios. For your information, Caro, Leave Ajewo was recorded down there. You know that song? Very stupid song, Vampy. And we're all in one building. There's no God in the building. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. But when you and I gather like this, even if it's under a mango tree, automatically that big place becomes the dwelling place of God. Once we go away, the presence has gone too. Apart from the love he has for our equipment and our chairs, that's what abides in the place. So I hate hearing that thing. This is the house of God. In my mind, said, will you shut up? God doesn't have a house on the earth right now. He doesn't. If I'm the pastor of a church, you know what I mean, I want to build a church, believe me, I'll just build a beautiful hall. Whether it's wedding or disco party, whichever one you want to do, the place will just be fine. No shape. I'm not putting the shape of any cross anywhere. It's not necessary. The reason being that, listen to this clearly, God does not have a house on the earth. Where he dwells in is where the hearts of men, you and I, know you not that your bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. I like the way Amplifier said it. He said, both individually and collectively, that you are the temple, your presence, whether you're in a thatched roof or in St. Peter's Basilica, you are the presence. Now, I was telling you on Saturday about people who went to where Jesus Christ supposedly was laid down after he died. And they say, this was where the Lord was laid down. They lay on the floor, they roll. The Jews are making money from your foolishness. Tourism, big money in Israel. They don't believe in your Jesus Christ, it's your problem. You say it's your God, that's your own issue. Just bring the money to come and see where we tell you he used to stay. And they say, oh boy, this is just by the way. They say, revenue is drying up. Revenue is drying up. What do we do? Invent something. All right. Sycamore tree. This was the one that Zacchaeus climbed. They will invent it for you. You don't know those people. Jews. Ha! Serious business people. I said this here once. That somebody said that there were two different tombs of Jesus Christ. One brother said, I know. He came and showed me the two photographs. Sit down there. Jesus, this is one tomb of Jesus, depending on the company that carried you on top. And ignoramuses, we go there and be rolling, oh, the tomb of my Lord. I was going to say Jesus is shaking his head in heaven. He doesn't even look at them, so he doesn't have time to shake his head. It's all the angels that will be laughing. One angel will come to Creoni, say, yes, come and say, on that foolish Nigerian. He has traveled all the way down to come and lie down on the slab that Mary Magdalene found the Lord sitting down. Who knows what those things are? Nobody. But you see, I'm just emphasizing what Paul was trying to send to people here. Let's forget all those things, all right? You'll see on later on the way he now tried to place the Galatians in his teaching, helping them to come up to a particular level. Now, please, I hope you are following these things. So, the law was not the way by which Christians could attain, okay, to righteousness. But we do that which is right, because inside us dwell the Spirit of God. Do you understand my point? Inside us, you find the Spirit of God dwelling. Therefore, we can do the works that are pleasing to God. And that's what Paul was trying to explain to them. Now, talking about that Abraham. And I said I will emphasize a number of things. Let me just quickly do that, okay? I tell too many stories. Now, let me emphasize the first thing. He said, we'll talk about being bewitched. He said, the only thing I want to know from you, verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, when we talked about profiting from the Word of God, I don't know how many of us were around for this series. There's something that I explained then and we learned. And that's the fact that Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be what? Careful how you hear. The reason is because it is the hearing with faith, all right, that actually releases the power of God into our lives. Quickly open your Bibles, all right, to the book of Ezekiel, one of my favorite scriptures. I'll just explain that principle. In fact, where I went to preach yesterday, what I was telling you about, it's an Orthodox church. They had a fellowship, and the title of my message was God's Solution to Man's Problems. All right? Ezekiel chapter 2. I'll tell you what I said in a moment. I always like to read from Ezekiel chapter 1, because where the 2 is a continuation of what started in 1. Now, Ezekiel had a vision, great vision, begin from verse 26 of chapter 1. It described the appearance of a figure that looked like a man. Then in verse 27, he said, then I noticed the appearance of his loins and all of that. And the thing was very, very great. So go to verse 28. It said, as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. All right? Describe the whole thing that he saw. Now, this is the summary. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. Before I read what the voice said, notice something. When he saw this thing, he did not fall on his face out of respect. He fell because he was overwhelmed by the glory of God in that place. Do you understand my point? You know, you hear that the temple was filled with the glory of God, therefore the priests were not able to stand to minister. That was what happened to him. So, strength left him and he fell. Then the next thing he said is in verse 1 of chapter 2, which is just a continuation. So then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you. And as he spoke to me, notice this, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. That's what I wanted to read. Notice that God gave him a commandment, and he made it clear this was a commandment I could not obey myself. Do you understand that? I couldn't obey it. But when the word of God came, let me put my own words to it and summarize it so all of us can understand. As the word of God was coming forth, and it meant readiness in my heart, then the Spirit wrote upon those words, because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is, they are spirit, they convey a spiritual substance that imparts life into the place that is going. So he said, when he said something, a spirit, see, God doesn't just give advice, not just a commandment, but enablement. Do you understand my point? When Jesus said, rise, take up your pallet and walk, he was not advice. He was saying that these words contain the power, do you get my point, to strengthen you. When he said, the child who was dead, he said, little girl, I say unto you, arise. All right? Talita Kumi, remember that? I first heard Talita Kumi actually as a child from a friend of mine. I thought it was a magic word. When I was going to play magic, say Talita Kumi, Talita Kumi. I didn't know it was a little girl. I said unto you what? Arise. Now, this fellow was dead. But the word, so it wasn't advice. Say, get up, your mama, they cry. That's not the advice. It was this is enablement to bring you back to life. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth even though he was bound. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Lazarus came forth even though he was what? He was bound. Please, do you get what I'm trying to explain? So that was what happened here to Ezekiel. Ezekiel received the ability to do that which he could not do. Because the word of God wrote, the Spirit of God wrote upon the words. And now, that's what Paul was saying. He said, there is a way by which, I told you somewhere yesterday. I said the solution to the problems of mankind is the entrance, that's the summary of it, of God's word. It's when we learn the divine order that we discover that what came into our lives as a result of disobedience to divine order will suddenly be corrected automatically. And most of the problems in life is because of disobedience to divine order. Do you understand my point? That's what I preached yesterday. Now, what Paul was now saying here is this. I want to find out from you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, that is the operation of the power of God in your life, all right, by which you were saved, converted from your sins, healed, delivered from frustration and the confusion and poverty, and brought forth into prosperity? That's what they called the Spirit. Do you follow what I mean? By which you were, he said, by which you were filled, all right, so as to enable you to do the word of God, the work of God. He said, did you receive it by the works of the law? Let me explain what that meant. What is in that? What did you do? Do you get my point? To have these things happen in your life. Let me say to you again. Listen. You don't get things from God by arguing what you have done. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me say it. The commonest one these days is that God, I have given, you will give me back. It's a very stupid argument to use in prayer. Please, though, I will say it until any day you want to try it, your conscience won't let you rest. In fact, you will fall down on your knees when you want to try that nonsense. People say, carry your checkbook and wave it to God. Listen, that is not the premise upon which you receive the operation of the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You cannot, listen, as Christians, Paul said that there is a way by which those people do things under the law. They will finish and say, we have done everything. But Christians, we don't do that. What did God say? If you have done everything, go home and say, Lord, I have done everything. Is there anything more for me to do? You don't, on the premise of what you have done, ask an operation of the Spirit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? What operation of the Spirit? You want... We had a meeting in my house. One man said, please, I have a question. It's a couple's meeting. Is it true that when you carry your money to church, your business will begin to prosper? I said, it's a lie. I said, it's not true. I said, the reason is simple. God knows your motive. If you want to go and bribe me so your business can prosper, but better use that money to hire Accenture, all right? Hire an accounting firm, PricewaterhouseCoopers, to help you reorganize your business. But please, you cannot say, God, I want to give money so that you will prosper my business. I said, all right. So what's wrong with just going home and asking me to prosper your business? Are you very, very deaf? You didn't hear the story of Jabez? Go and read the book, Prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. He said, but this person gave with those artifacts, and she got. I said, wait. She did not go and bribe God. I don't know whether you are getting my point. A prophet showed up at her doorstep with a special message. If a special message comes to you from a prophet, not a general message that somebody preaches from a pulpit, the operation is very different. Do you get what I'm saying? When it talks about, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That's what I want you to understand. When you want to be blessed by God, learn to just ask. You see, I told you I was preaching yesterday about the solution to man's problems. The solution, he said, he sent his word and healed them. As the word of God is flowing into your life, so is the ability, all right, of God flowing into your life. What you need, all right, as a Christian is what? Faith. Every other thing you do in life is so as to build up your faith. And a product of a faith that is built up. Please, get that one get it very clear. You can't argue, I did this, that's why God blessed me. No. It's the way it works is simple. I heard the word of God and I believed it. That's how God takes all the glory. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making there. So he said, it's by hearing with faith. Let me emphasize that again. I told you I was teaching somewhere yesterday. This is exactly what I taught them. That this is how you solve the problems of life. You give attention. He said, my son. Quickly, open your Bible down. Quickly. Proverbs chapter 4. I told you seeds too is coming. Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Seminar Season 2. Why did I say Season 2? Because in our church we did a program, the choir, called the Halal Season 1. So they say Season 2 is coming. I said, very good. So when we are doing Season 2, I was saying Part 2 is Season 2. Now this is just gist, alright? This is just by the way, alright? This is not Bible. You know, slangs the day, we could just crawl into the society. Everybody would use them. If you watch my pastor's program, that's my Lagos pastor, Pastor Bojo. It's always powered by Covenant Christian Center. You know, powered by the first time I heard powered by, it was by web designers. So it said this page, the first guy who did our own, but this page is powered by Asterix Innovative. That was the first guy. So you see, powered by. So I actually thought that powered by was that there's a machine they are using to generate the website. I'm using power. So it says powered by. After some time, everywhere I go, you open this paper, powered by PZ. Powered by. I say, oh, you mean PZ is the one powering it with money? I get the point now. So this is powered by Covenant Christian Center. That's what Pastor Boji also they use there. So the next one, instead of saying Part 2, now is what? Season 2. So that's the new slang in town. Therefore, we are coming up with Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Seminar Season 2. The Lord is good. I let you open somewhere. Proverbs chapter 4. This is the way the Word of God works. He said, my son, verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. This is the New American Standard. It says, they are held to their whole body. What is it? Words. In fact, I like the way one man interpreted this word, health. He said, the Hebrew also has an alternative rendering, which is what? Medicine. He said, it's medicine to their whole body. Derek Prince gave a testimony. In fact, he has a book on it called God's Medicine Bottle. All right? He said, it was in the military. There was a time he developed a chronic skin disorder. A form of chronic dermatitis. They didn't have any specific diagnosis for him. And for a long time, doctors treated, and he didn't get well. Along the line, he gave his life to Christ, and one day was reading the Bible, and he got to this particular point. So when he got to this particular point, this Proverbs chapter 4, he noticed that the Bible said it's medicine to their whole body. So he decided to start using the Word of God as medicine. After a few weeks, I've forgotten the exact number of weeks now. I think about 3 months, he said. The whole ailment cleared entirely. So he decided to go out to go and preach. God heals. You understand? The Word of God heals. That it's medicine to their whole body. Are you getting my point? That is, let's go back to our Galatians so we don't lose track too much. That's what he meant when he says, is by hearing with faith. This is how the Word of God brings the manifestation of God into people's lives. When they pay attention and they bear fruit, remember with what? Perseverance. Please, let me not speak further on that particular issue, but recommend that we should all get that MP3 CD. So no, it was on one single MP3 CD now. Profiting by the Word of God. What Paul was saying is that the manifestation, listen, you know, I'm sorry to say this, you know, oh God. It's just that this happens a lot, and so people ask those things. The man who asked me and said that, is it true that when you give, you park all your money to church, your business, you do well? I think that is a lie. And actually, mean it, it's a lie. people think that when you want to prosper, all right, you aggressively give to God and you aggressively receive from God. Should I tell you the truth? I'm a Bible teacher. It's not true. No, take it from me very calmly. I'm not angry. You can say I'm very calm as I'm answering you right now. I'm not angry. I'm not angry with anybody. I'm saying it very coolly. It's not true. It doesn't work like that. Praise God. Amen. I'm letting you know I'm not angry. I'm saying it after much thought. That's not the way it works. One of the books that's coming out next from the Stable of the Kingdom World Ministries is titled "So Who Will Pay for This?" The one before that is "Grace to Prosper." All right, then "How to Work for God." Please read these three books. It will help you understand the matter of money, how to give as a Christian. It is not a bribing method. It's not a way by which you get something from God. Do you get my point? It's a way by which you are faithful. A Christian that's not generous, all right, is a very, very stupid person. And believe me, is somebody who doesn't have faith. Only people who don't love God, who don't love their brethren, all right, who don't have faith are not generous. They only live for themselves. Listen to me, you won't live long like that because it's against the law of God. If you only live for yourself, you won't live long. That's not a threat. It's not, you cannot, listen, let me say this. Some people who are even trying to give to God and who are indirectly giving to themselves, do you follow what I mean? That the reason why they are doing it so that they can get, they have not been delivered from the curse of this activity of what they call selfishness. No, really they haven't been. Because it's still centered around you. Do you understand? Listen, faith and faithfulness, those are the motivations for the giving of a Christian. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is, you just look and say, this is the work of God. We have to do it. Listen, if you're not giving to the work of God, then you don't believe in it. That's all it means. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. If you say that, look, let me give you an example. If I say, there's this group of people living somewhere there, they are all sick, all right? And I love them. What is their sickness? They have leprosy. And listen, I know how leprosy is cured. I can give you a prescription from it right from here. Give you 3 drugs, take it for a number of months, you're cured. Look, I'm a doctor. Don't forget that. I'm a preacher, all right? But I learned it in school. I know the drugs. They're in my head. I don't mean the physical medicine, but the knowledge of it. So now imagine that I have the medicine, I have the knowledge, I have the money, and I claim that the people there are suffering and it's paining me, and I have the ability. Is it not that I'm lying that I love them? Is that I don't believe the medicine works? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen people say, this child, though, want to take him to America for surgery, and they'll be putting the face in the papers all the time. And I look, I say, this one would not even survive in America. Don't deceive us. That's because I know, you know, out of my own knowledge, I just look and say, this one, forget it. There's no, all this are going to America. If they can't do it in Lagos and they don't go here, forget it. It's not going to be done anyway because I happen to know this disease. So no matter how much you say, we're trying to gather money, you know, to go to America. I won't give you a damn because I feel like you want to waste money. If you were in UNTH now and the money was not coming for the bills, then we'll consider it. So I'm bringing out something. If I think the medicine doesn't work, maybe I won't buy it. But I claim I know it works. I know where it's sold. I have the money and I claim to love the people. If I don't buy it for them, I'm lying somewhere along the road. Wait, somewhere there, I'm telling lies. That is what giving is for a Christian. That's what it is. No, believe me, that's what it is. It's not a matter of, hey, no, let's just keep doing this so we can get from God. Now, that's not what I want to talk about. I just keep on saying this thing because, you know, the wrong things keep on pumping out every day. And we kind of have to keep mopping up the iniquity from the hearts of believers, all right, by the word. But what I want to bring out here is this, that how does a man experience business breakthrough? Now, I've talked about the matter of giving. It's a matter of faith. Do you get what I'm saying? A selfish man, a stingy man does not have faith. He might claim he's praying, but he really doesn't have faith. And if you don't have faith, your prayers are inconsequential. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. Now, let's say we've left that point. So how really do I get something out of God's hand and get my business to transform, get my finances to transform? The Bible says it's by hearing with faith. It's by what?
hearing with faith. That's why we are doing seeds. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategies. We've done one. Then we'll do two. All right? And keep teaching the word because it's as it enters. Oh, I read the quote. Okay, my computer is there. I'd love to read it for you. When I read it this morning, there's a book somebody sent to me. It's an electronic book, so I haven't read it for a long time. I hate reading books on the computer. In fact, I asked him, Cassidy, can you get me this book? Because I hate reading books on the computer. I like to have the paper in my hand. But it's a book by Henry Ford, My Life and Work. All right? The story of Henry Ford. And he said something like this. This company, that's Ford Motor Company, which was extremely successful that time, that this company is not about cars. He said something like that. But that it's about, that it's an expression. Listen to this. You've heard me say this. He said it's an expression of new business methods. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That this company is not about car. It's not about motor car. That Ford Motor Company is not about motor car. That I'm trying to teach people how to do business. Let me put it like this. His light came. Understand, if you listen to that thing I said, it was on TV, and we discussed it here, probably from the Word of God, that his light came. And this is the candlestick that God has placed for him to shine with the light. That is why does this company exist? He said, what I'm trying to do is to teach everybody. He said, the success of the company is a proof of the supremacy of the method. Do you get what I'm saying? I told myself when I read that, I said, I have my theme for season 2. The moment I read it, I was so excited. I was excited. Especially since I still preached that thing a few days ago. And I just read it in the book. I immediately copied it. Kept it somewhere. That what the man was saying is this. This is how people are blessed. And that's what I want to teach in season 2. You don't step out if you don't know what you want to do. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm not explaining. That is, there is something you want to prove the efficacy. You want to prove that this is what is supposed to be done. That's what you go out to do. Listen. Oh, I'm sorry. I have not finished. I was quoting the Bible. It's a mistake. I'm very sorry. Listen. This is Kingdom World Ministries. Amen? Amen. Now, this, I'm not trying to brag. But the fact is this. Tell me which church or Christian program you have gone to before in your life and they don't do praise worship, testimonies, offering time. Somebody just shows up, short man like Chuku Bike. I know you're not short, I'm just teasing you. And you just pray for five, 10 minutes. And the guy who everybody came to listen to grabbed the microphone, teach, at the end of the day, looks at the time, closes, they share grace, and they go away. Please, anyone, do you know anywhere? Oh. All right. Pastor Bank, did you see somewhere? No. I never saw it anywhere. Believe me, I never did. I'm used to going to assemblies where we've come to hear teaching. Then one very nice sister will first come up. I just want to be where you are. Sing along with me, brother. Let us worship the Lord. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from my face. Is it a bad thing? No! It's a very good thing. My friend runs a ministry that's all they do. The day after I went to Asaba, that's what they were doing. A whole night of, ask my wife, who were dancing, they gathered everybody. If you know how many millions they spent for that program, that's all they do. Hey, there's one of their songs. One of their songs I love very much. The name of the ministry is Praise Creations. If he gathers, expect to hear songs. The guy is a wizard in writing songs, worship songs. He doesn't write songs of victory, songs of happiness, songs of worship and praise. That's what he writes. Very, very good. That's a banky. Not only don't I write songs, I hardly sing songs. Believers need all of it. Do you understand my point? Since this is not a church, I don't owe you the responsibility to mumble everything together. I want just 2 hours of your time on Saturday. As you use the 2 hours to pump you full of the ministry I have brought. Song is not part of it. If you have a testimony, come and tell me personally. I will use it to preach. Why don't you show up when you know I'm not going to be around? Is that not proof that I'm right? Yeah, pastor is not around. Now they go somewhere else. Now, I'm looking at something. So before I started, you know what happened? What just came to my mind was I said, this is how things are supposed to be done. If you are doing the kind of ministry, this is what you are supposed to do. Listen, that's why almost all the money we spend in Kingdom World Ministries is about propagating doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. I found my calling. I found it recently. And I said that calling, you discover it. Before, what I knew was my gift. I've now discovered the calling. Very recent, very recent. All the one I've been doing all the while was what? Gift, exercising the gift. Along the line, I discovered the calling. What I'm saying is that before now, I said, this is what I'm going to do. Don't think it's only here. Ask Kingsley. He's not around. Those who have traveled with me for seminars, not only Kingsley, ask Israel. Even when we do seminars, we announce on air, we're going to be so and so and so. Once now, we organize them. If we say it's 5 o'clock, that's how you hear the announcement on air. Please come on time as teaching starts shortly after opening prayers. You know, immediately after opening prayers. If we say it's 5, 5 dots, somebody starts praying. 5 or 10 minutes into the prayers, I take the microphone and I teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and I leave the place. Now, what am I saying? Listen. Over time, we have spent money. Literally, we have spent millions and millions and millions of naira. Literally. I was telling you that the other day, the cost of our cameras alone, in today's naira, is almost a million naira. Those two little things we say we carry. You see why we're always carrying up and down? It costs money. $5,000 we paid for the two of them. We have spent money. First day we enter NTA, first to start, 360,000 naira, they collected cash from us. Every month, 100,000 naira we give to Cosmo. It's not free. You think it's free? It's not free. And believe me, the money keeps coming. In Jesus' name, it will keep coming. What I'm trying to say is this. There was a thought. There was an idea. There were words. Do you understand my point? As I swallowed them, believed them, then they are manifesting. And listen, let me tell you where they will get to. Our websites are having issues till now. Don't worry, we'll soon solve them. But forget all of this one. What will happen one day is that as we start on Saturday evening, begin to teach, or we do seminars, from all over the world, people are logging onto the website for live streaming of the messages. Shortly it will happen. I can assure you of another one that will happen shortly. I don't even want to look at TV. You know, I like the NTA we are doing. I have a feeling I'm going to pull this NTA thing out after the first quarter. After 3 months, we may just get out. My mind is set on satellite TV. It's set on it. John 3:16. I'm going to investigate. Since Moon Africa is not working again, I will investigate John 3:16. We'll go back there. Because the day they aired us in the evening, John 3:16, I don't care what they are paying. Because I found out that apparently, in Nigeria we use mostly DSTV, the high TV now, you know, all these bouquets and all of that. But those who use a lot of free to air, we are taking this gospel to East Africa, taking it to Southern Africa. And where my heart is again is to spread across the oceans and get down to South America and Mexico. Believe me, we are going to do that. If Pastor Van, where you get the money from? Don't worry. If you say, God, I would like to do something, say, but all I have is 10 naira, send the 10 naira. You'll be amazed at what it can do. So don't even worry. God knows what He's doing. Now, why did I say all of that? I've seen people saying, who will play the keyboard? Who will play the keyboard? I don't want a keyboard. If you like, give us 500 million naira, I will not buy a keyboard. Now when you buy a keyboard, who go play and who go play? Another headache don't commence. I'm not going to buy anybody a keyboard. I don't want one. If you give me 500 million naira, next thing you know is I'll go and build in one corner towards MNN, Kingdom World Media Center. You will see the most powerful servers there. Big generator, so that this one, all the messages, if anytime I see our MP3 CDs, I'm proud. I'm very happy. I can keep any man occupied hearing the word of God day and night for a whole year, and he has not yet repeated Pastor Banky. I'm very, very happy. and you see a stack of 40 different MP3 CDs. We're talking about close to 400 different messages. Feel good. What am I trying to say? Hearing with faith. What's producing this? I heard something. I don't know even how I heard it. But I said, this is how this thing will be done. What are we teaching in seeds too? Is this hearing with faith matter? That until you have heard something, don't run out and go and start a business. I don't mean that, you know what I'm about, satanic hearing. Chukubi, have you heard? It is a tissue paper that's selling now. Move, go buy tissue paper making machine. Then you run. You don't know whether Nigerians want to use tissue paper. You know, you've not thoroughly, nothing is inside you that you want to demonstrate in your business. You just want to make money. Spiritually, you're a rogue. There's nothing you want to birth. Nothing is driving you that God will use. You know, he said, arise, shine. Are you getting my point? There is something that God wants to demonstrate through the thing he's giving to you. When I read that thing in Henry Ford, I was so excited. That is why, listen to me, when the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears haven't heard. So if what you want to do is common, it just maybe it is good, it will work, but it's just to feed you for a moment. But the real calling, no, it cannot be from what everybody is doing. That's my wife. Anytime we're discussing business ideas, I always come up with things that she hasn't heard before, and even me, I don't even know why I'm saying them. They don't have to work like this. And if you say, this other person does it, you see, that's the issue. That's his own life. I have a calling to demonstrate something that somebody else is not doing. Chike was telling me some time ago that, you know, he goes around doing seminars and all of that, IT seminars and stuff, that there was a time when he would go out that what would come to his heart is that these seminars, do it free. These seminars, do it free. And then he was, no, how can it be free? We'll pay the expenses. He will do the seminars, he will lose money. Then when he agrees to do it free, that is when he breaks even. And out of doing free seminars for people, people make contact the company and make enough orders to cover all the costs. Now, what am I discussing? I'm talking about this matter of what? Hearing with faith. This is what really brings prosperity. It's not the bribery of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Those issues, money matters, please. I'm not trying to discourage Christians from giving. But why I talk the way I talk is that if I don't, listen to me, one day you will be discouraged. I don't know whether I get my point. I've seen people who have become discouraged and they have become hardened. They don't give again. You know what I'm talking about. They have given. They have told them, give your land and God will build you a land. You know, they give land. Give your car. They have given. They have done all kinds of. Finally, they look one day. They say, what is going on here? Where my land? Shush, don't collect her. Where my motto? I don't sow a seed. Never germinate. Next time he said, this is the work of God. Give towards it. The guy said, nah, they sell anything. I'll go buy. But say, give my money. No. And that's what I don't think should happen to you as a Christian. Your motivation must be right. That is, what we take pride, you take pride from is that, take way of an example. You know, I told those of us co-workers, I said, you take pride in the fact that once the thing is going on, you know, yesterday as I was approaching the house, I didn't even tell my wife, the radio was on, all right? Okay, I told her I want to swap the CD that we gave them. The radio was on, so as I was approaching the house, I started hearing, that's the radio in the car was on. I started hearing my radio was sounding a bit loud. So I said something was, I quickly quenched it. And of course, there was a speaker somewhere outside at our junction blasting the Way of Success into the air. I said, wow, I'm sure these guys don't know Pastor Banky lives in the second house down the road. I didn't used to hear them play Cosmo there loud. But that night, I just heard the thing. I quenched my own radio in the car. And the junction, those of you have been to my house, just down when you turn in. Dead at that junction, the speaker was outside blasting Pastor Banky loudly. I said, this will won't guess that this nigger stays just 2 houses down this place. No, what I'm saying is that's what I take pride from. You hear on Saturday, the man from Oka. You know, if you hear an announcement, you can get this book at number 3 Obi Okoli Street, you know. Oh, no, he was here on Saturday. So my wife brought him and said, oh, come and meet number three of you. I said, oh, you are the deal wisdom bishop, man. We shook hands and he was thanking me, blessing me, and said that people come to his shop because when they hear those announcements, they think we're in partnership, kind of. They come there to leave messages. Please tell Pastor Banky that what he's doing. Listen, if you had only 200 naira and you give towards that broadcast, are you following my point? And you hear that testimony, you should be satisfied, not God. My 200 naira, you never pay. If a human being not pay now, you go tell Satan be sinner. You, God, never pay. To him that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. You, God, supposed pay. Do you get my point? What should you derive your joy from? That your money is having effect. I remember one day, one man who bought some clothes for my wife for some pastors in his church. He said, actually what happened was that he gave out clothes, all right? You know, he had a lot of clothes in his house and they wasn't wearing. So he gave them out and said, please, oh, give to anybody who wants. So he came to church and saw one of them, one of the pastors in their church. Ah! He felt very bad. That, why did they give it to a pastor in the church now? You get what I'm saying? So he now went, after a while he told my wife that he wanted to buy some clothes for somebody in their church, a pastor in their church, a big church, very big church in this town. And listen to this, the man likes to argue about money. If he tells you something is 5,000 naira, he said, what? How can it be 5,000? Can it be 3,005? But that day we agreed on 3,000. In fact, at the point that my wife said, I'm not saying again, give me, I'm going. She was very angry. He has money. I don't want to tell you it is. The man has plenty of money. He has money. One day I went to his house. He just completed one big house like this. I said, Oga, you build this house and you keep on telling me there's no money. He said, where is the money now? Where is the money? Okay, I'm standing inside the money. You're telling me where is the money? Look at the money above my head. You're saying, where is the money? I'm standing on top of the money. He's that kind of person. So bear that in mind. Just like to whine and complain. There's no money. So finally, he grumbled that he wasn't planning to buy the shirt for such a high amount of money. So he bought suit, bought shirt, bought everything. The next time he saw me, he said, Pastor Banky, tell your wife to come and collect some more money for that suit. I should pay extra. He said, when I saw that man in church, I didn't know he could be that handsome. He said, the guy was looking so good, I felt like paying your wife extra. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? He grumbled that the money was too much. Then when he saw the effect, he said, please, can you increase the price a bit? I think I should pay some more. What am I saying? What did the satisfaction come from? When he saw how he had transformed somebody's life by just spending some few thousands of naira on a suit and a shirt and stuff like that. Listen, no child of God, learn to get your satisfaction from giving, from that and that alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you want to bless the work of God or bless a man of God or bless somebody in it, let it just stop there. That yes, that you enter. Last week we didn't have chair. Praise God. We have chairs now. All you are thinking is that God, I put 500 naira for these chairs though. And you are feeling very happy. Yeah, newcomers, please come and sit down. Come and sit down. Be comfortable. Amen. That is, you're feeling good that now we can make people comfortable. Are you getting my point? Don't go around and say, praise God. Lord, I'll put a church, I'll put a house. What am I trying to say now? I'll put a chair in your house. You will put a settee in my house. It's a deal. God, I have tested you and you will not fail my test. Alright. Okay, I want to fail. Alright, I have failed the test. Call police. Call police. Now, what am I saying? Hearing with faith. If you hear the word of truth, do you follow my point? Look, something will come out of your heart and develop. I like one thing, the testimony I have when my wife and I, before we got married and shortly after I got married, one day she asked me honestly, it wasn't a question of, husband, I think you are arrogant or you are proud. She asked a very honest question. Are you trying to say that these other people who don't know these things, that they are wrong and you are right? Now, I don't know whether you understand the point. Because I had everything upside down from what is normal. Everything was upside down. Everything. If everybody says this is how marriage is done, me, I think it's the other way around. It was just upside down. After a while, hey, the young wife, where am I? Look like, hey, I'm not arguing. No. This is just it. I just want to know, how likely is it? Your father is wrong. My father is wrong. They are even old people. What about young people? They are all wrong. They are all wrong. Pastor, only you is correct here. What do you think about that? Even me, you know, to just say, yes, I think I'm right. Smears of arrogance, which I just preached on radio, that you must not dabble into, otherwise you will fail in life. So I reasoned. I said, Baba God, how do I answer this question now? Yeah, this was before we married. We're not married then. Okay, I remember, I think I was in Benin. I said, good. Can you remember when they were supposed to enter the promised land? How many million people were there? A few millions, right? How many people were correct? Joshua and Caleb and Moses, Shekinah, nobody else. Even Aaron. You know that Aaron? I don't know how God chose that guy, high priest. He's the one that knows what he's looking at. He knows what he's looking at too. That Aaron, that guy was so mugunic. I don't understand the way he used to do things. That English does not exist. I invented the mugunic word. I couldn't understand. Moses just walked out small. He just built calf. Who could bring up the matter of calf near Moses? Moses will turn your head to the head of a calf. Believe me. Even Joshua. Calf near Joshua. What if they worry somebody? But Aaron said, it's not my fault. I just threw the earrings into the fire. And the calf just waka come out from inside. And freeze again. Everybody worship the golden calf. Now what am I saying? I said, millions of people. Huh? They were wrong. Only a few people were correct. I said, young woman, yes, I think I'm correct. I don't know whether they are wrong. I don't know whether they are wrong. But I think I'm correct. I think I'm correct because I learned it from the word of God. I think I'm correct because this is not my idea. Somebody taught me after studying the scripture. I said, no, what they are doing is not. Look, and finally, believe me, my wife discovered over time that this guy is not only correct by letter. From experience, I have seen that what he says is how things should be done. That anybody who does it like that will have joy and happiness in their house, in their homes, in their marriages. What am I saying? You know why God gave him this woman to marry? As if he wants to know. Shall I tell you the truth? There were about 3 billion people on the earth, women, when I married her. 3 billion women. I've told her several times. She said, no, be me marry you. Now God marry you, you know what I mean? Say banky. You know the way Joseph got a wife? Pharaoh just look and say, you don't marry. Okay, now from prison for the common. He said, okay, you're from jail. Just look. But the Pharaoh, come. That girl you sent come that time. Now your daughter, you don't give her anybody to you now. But the Pharaoh said no. Say go bring her and come. Now you go marry this boy. Now so God take doom you. Why don't you come? You don't marry. Oh God, go marry, not tell you. Yeah, see that girl. Now let me introduce her to you. So that they are finished preaching. Just they take the corner of my eye, see this woman who just stand there. You know what happened that day? She doesn't agree, but actually what happened was that one angel said, come, let me come and introduce you to your husband. So she came sheepishly. You know what sheepishly? She led to the slaughter, not opening her mouth. She came alone. She said, I came to ask you a question. No lie. It was an angel of God. Said, come, let me introduce you. So that day I looked. Okay, you want to talk to me? Yes. And she asked the first question, second question, and the Lord said, Banky, arise, kill and eat. And that's how we got here today. Now, what I'm saying is that how did that happen? Believe me, this is what I believe. It's because I believe this, all right? There are many issues, but in the context of what you're saying, God said, the things you have believed, the things I want to demonstrate, this is one woman that will not give you trouble in bringing them to reality. Are you getting my point? God knew from time any woman that thought he knew too much Bible that I couldn't teach. We'll see each other, we'll go Jesus. Hey! Angela, how you there? Shake hands. You go Jesus from now to tomorrow. After that, we shake hands. We'll wave, bye-bye. Marry. God forbid, but. Who's going to teach who? If you think you know too much Bible. I remember one sister once. No, I just say, actually, I chase woman go, daddy. I chase her go, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You've done things like that before. So, I said, Pastor Banky, Dr. Banky, I wonder what she calls me. Hey, please, in our church, we are doing this thing. What do you think? I said, very good. No silver or gold have I not. Such as I have, give I unto thee. So I decided to start preaching. Now from Genesis, if you notice, when God began, so when you find out in Revelations, finally the angel now blew the trumpet and this happened. So my conclusion, therefore, based upon all these premises, is that this was what the Lord proposed for it to be. He said, Dr. Banky, that's your own. As far as I'm concerned, this is what I think. Honestly, all the attraction, they burn like fire before. Somebody just pour water on it. Shwa! The thing just die. And now, in retrospect, now I can hear all the angels laughing. Banky, Banky, where your shoe begin go house? God, that is. The word cannot come to pass in this union. Forget it. What am I saying? I had concepts, I have dreams, I had ideas based upon the word of God. Then God gave me a wife and a marriage from which the glory of God will be manifested, that the things that we have believed, they are true. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Oh God, I'm supposed to be looking at Galatians, right? Well, we have to stop. I was hoping we could finish that. But what I'm talking about again is this hearing with faith. For believers, believe me, as a Christian, there's no substitute. Let me tell you how your life will turn around and become permanently glorious. That's a good word. Listen to me. Listen to this clearly. Don't be in a hurry. Did I hear an amen? And all my friends have done this. Listen, no, you and your friends, you're not going the same place. The day my mother said that, Banky, your friends are building houses now, so how far? I said, Mommy, how many of them are preaching the way of success? None. How many of them have written about 9 books? None. How many of them? I said the number of things that I do also. And I added something to it. I said, the man who built the first house didn't build the finest one. I said, so let's leave that one. Let's leave that one. The man who built the first house, in fact, let me give my wife's father as an example. Between him and his wife and their children, they lived in the same house for 20, how many years? Like 25 years. I'm not joking. Then they moved once. Even the former land opened mouth when he went into the house that they moved, that 20-something years. When was time to move? But the first day I entered, we went to my wife's house. I knocked the gate. First thing that intimidated was that this gate is big. Let me see the house that's behind it. But the point is that 20-something years they live in the same one single house for 20-something years. And then one day I was joking I was talking with my mother-in-law. She said, "Now wow." At that time, that when they were very plenty in the house was small. And now that a house is very big, everybody has gone away. Because you know the way people are growing. I mean, everybody's married, even the brothers and cousins that are living with you, they are going away, marrying, finishing school. Some have gone abroad, some have come to Enugu, you know, like my wife, you know, they're all over the place. But this is the point I'm making. First to build house, not being the build the finest one. Believe me, if you see the size of the house, the house is massive. For information, complete with a swimming pool in the backyard. That was the first movement. Look, I learned lessons from everything. I filed that one in my head. To start competing with those who, one day my wife told me that one of her friends, they built house. I said, very nice, very nice, very nice. Hey, where's the house? He described it. What? By the time you finish describing the house of me, my mind, you park from a decent house and park into that lungo. You know, maybe you sinned against God or something, but you're on your own. Me, I'm not joining you. I'll pay another landlord. I'm not angry with any landlord. I will pay another landlord. If this one, but I don't leave it big as I'm going to shrink myself into. Yinka is not here. He said, Tom Peter said that you can never shrink yourself into greatness. There's something I was trying to explain. Now, what am I saying? So, please, number one, you must not be in what? In a hurry. You mustn't be. Forget that one. Your friends, don't let them lead you into what you don't require. You know? All my friends are going abroad now for holiday. My wife doesn't see that kind of thing near me. But she knows. One day, you go holiday, you go tire. No, I'm serious. I will just wake up one day, say, oh yeah, everybody, park. Where are we going? First, we'll stop in London. We'll spend a week there. Where we are really going is Barbados. But before that, let's greet everybody. Then from there, you fly to the US. On the way, you stop. No, let's go back to Dubai. Spend 5 days shopping. Waka about. Then when they finally land in Nigeria, I look the money. It still remains. I say, well, you guys can't go home yet. Too. You can't go home yet. Let's go to Ghana. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no hurry. Do you get my point? Now, just bear that one in mind properly. But what I want to say really is that you are not in a hurry. First thing you must do if you want your life to really turn around and remain glorious for life is to settle down and discover the unique word of God for your own life. Listen, discover the unique pattern for your own life. First, you will get the general pattern of God. This is, they don't come in 1 month. Oh. I'm not saying that you give yourself 3 months to learn everything. Not lie. Don't be in a hurry. You know your God. The problem, I have discovered Satan indeed is gripping the whole world and confusing them. Everybody wants to achieve what everybody else has achieved. I told my wife the other day that, you know, how many of you know my car? That BMW. You know the car, it don't bend on every corner. It don't jam several times. I said, I think I like the car. If I want to drive it a few more weeks and months. You say why? I said, we have a new stereotype in Christianity. You know, before they had the stereotype that preachers and good Christians are poor people. They look hungry. You give to a man of God, not because he's a man of God, but because he's hungry. All right? I said, that one stereotype, we have ended it now. But we have a new stereotype that's just as bad, spiritually speaking. What is the new stereotype? A preacher drives a big car. He's prosperous. I want nonsense. All that thing is rubbish. Something led to it. I told my wife, no, I beg. I want to drive this my car like this for some time. Then they say, hey, that is the pastor that preaches on TV. Look at his old car. Very good. I like it. I'm very serious. No, really. For me, it's a kind of sad. It's like, because I like, oh God. In Jesus' name, I also have a new car. You see, very high. The kind that you go jump before you touch the roof. And that's why I like them. But listen to me, it's not spiritual. It's just my attitude. Do you get what I'm saying? Nothing spiritual about it. No matter how expensive and flashy a sports car is, I don't like them. You know why? They are too short. The seats are hard. Well, they say you can move fast. I'm not running anywhere. He that believes shall not make haste. So I'm not going. It's just my. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? It's just my attitude. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's not godly. It's not ungodly. It's just banky. So I don't want anybody to confuse it that, yes, this is befitting of a man of God. Your ministry will look glorious. I want rubbish. Please, I know what I'm trying to explain. So you people have stereotypes. Everybody wants to fit into the stereotype. You don't need that. Oh. You don't need it. And the sign of a good ministry is that you are growing. The church is now 6,000. I like what one of my friends said. His pastor said, church growth, church growth, church growth. He said, don't forget, cancer is also a growth. That cancer is also a form of growth. So don't let growth just knock your head crazy. Better be sure that your growth is good growth. People grow, grow, grow in life. They reach a particular height. They know they stop. It means that they're sick. Please, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. So don't let anybody form you into one stupid stereotype. You take, and it takes time. Listen, from the time I knew I would preach to the time I started Kingdom World Ministries was almost, as I started Kingdom World Ministries in 2001, I knew I would preach before I left campus. And I left campus in 1991. For information, I graduated from the University of Benin. I was fellowship president for a year and a half on campus. So don't think I'm kidding. I was preaching on campus. I left in 1991. Kingdom World Ministries started in Enugu in the year 2001. So I'm not talking about the overnight part. When I was on campus, I wanted to go to Jos, live in Jos, and build a church called Jesus Assembly. Once it started, tomorrow he calls me the pastor of Jesus Assembly. That was what I wanted to do. Do you know Enugu? I hardly knew, apart from the fact that I had to do geography in secondary school, I wasn't sure I knew that Enugu existed. Then one day as a medical student, we came here for a conference. 2 days we spent here and I went back. That was my first time in Enugu until I returned to Enugu in the year 2000 to come and take an appointment at the University of Nigeria Enugu campus. I built my pattern, it took years. No hurry. No hurry. No hurry. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But believe me, now that we have commenced it, like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say, great days are here. Did I hear an amen? Yes, great days indeed are here. There are many people who jumped out, boom, ministry, church. There was one man, a man of integrity. Started a church, was my senior in school, started a church in Lagos. Please, I'm closing now. I don't want to stay more too long. Started a church in Lagos. After some time, I came back to the church. Praise the Lord. She was the one that said, God called me to start a church. Yes. Now, God has called me to close. Everybody go. He closed the church and said, I know they do it again. I know they do it again. All of you, my friend pastors his church there, you can go there. You can go there. I was the one that said that God called me. I didn't ask you when. I said God called me. Now I have come to say, I know they do it again. Amen. God has said close it. So he closed the door. Now I believe that some of those wouldn't have been necessary. If we did not lead people into a particular stereotype of serving God. Once you wanted to preach, you had to go out, rent a hall, start a church, gather people unto yourself on Sundays, and then it becomes another struggle. Who will play keyboard? Who will play piano? Why will we do this one? You start using all kinds of methods. You now put yourself under pressure. Some of those things are not necessary. If you will have spent that same time doing a small business somewhere, working somewhere, doing something while, waiting, literally waiting on God, developing your own kind of ministry. You read books. I mean, how many tracks like this did you ever see in your life before you saw this one? Let's be honest. How many did you ever see? I saw one, actually. But the only one I ever saw. By E.W. Kenyon. And believe me, I saw it in 1988. I got another copy in 1991. Those were the only two copies I saw in my life of anything like this. When I wanted to start Kingdom World Ministries, I remembered that tract. I didn't have it anymore, but I sat my friend who was a designer. I said, there's what I wanted to help me design. He described, and I described and described. He kept on designing. It will be like this, it will be like this, it will be like this, it will be like this. Finally, he got it. I said, yes, that is it. He said, Banky, I told him that the paper has to be thick. He said, no problem. That's why you see our paper is not soft. He said, we'll use 100 gram paper. I didn't know the design, all the language. Finally, we produced the first 3,000 tracts. Relax, God is in control, was one of them. The redemption that is in Christ was the second one. And I think God cannot fail, something like that. Three tracts. People never saw this kind of paper anywhere. This kind of thing. Most people have never seen it. When they say tracts, and they say, I do tracts, they expect one man went to the waters and he fell inside and then he got to heaven. And then under he said, what will be your own portion? Are you going to die today? If you want to know Jesus Christ, write us with his address below. But I didn't do that. This is what I did. Is that okay? Hearing with faith. Once you have heard, once you have understood, you know what happens? Your life begins to play out. Because what God does is that he brings opportunities your way every day. It's like, binary division, like you do in computer science. All right? Every day you have to go this way or go that way. But you always know which direction to go. All right? When you know exactly what you want to begin to do. Let me put that word, begin to do. Do you get the point I'm making? I hope you have gotten my point. That's what I want to say briefly about hearing with faith.